Hello, you're listening to a Zen Studies Society podcast. To learn more about our community of Zen Buddhist practitioners, please visit zenstudies.org.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you all for coming and making up your way the ever narrowing streets, paths, and driveways that lead to this place. It is such a fitting image for Daibosatsu Zendo. This is the end of the road. And once you come here and you engage in this practice, you might feel, well, I should back up. But that is not as easy as you might think. This practice as the expression of a deep human feeling of needing to engage in ways to become more full, more embracing, more complete, is what brings us together here. And of course, there are many, many different ways of doing this. This is just one way, and apparently it is the way that has attracted us to walk on it. It doesn't make it superior. It doesn't make any other way inferior. It makes us more human, and in that spirit, this monastery and New York Zendo work, opening up the path for anyone who would like to set their foot on it. Try it. And apparently it brought us to this end of the road today. There are so many thoughts that have to do with history, with the life of this tradition, with the life of this place, with the life of the human beings who brought this tradition forward as a living tradition. I could take hours to think, and it would not be enough. We just recited Kozen Daito's last admonition. And in the very end, he speaks about Ho-on Suru, to requite the beneficence. The beneficence received by this monk sitting in this chair from so many of you, from teachers such as Shinge Roshi, from teachers such as Joshu Roshi, and all the other wise and open-hearted human beings who crossed the path of this monk. The only way to pay back or even attempt to requite that beneficence is to do what Soen Roshi asked us to do. March on, march on, march on. I thank all my teachers for teaching me what they have learned, and at times for teaching me where the difference between the human being and the Dharma teacher lies. It is such an important thing to learn all of that, because there is nothing ideal. Nothing is untainted by our humanity that at times goes afoul of our best intentions. Today, I will turn the table on you, and I'm charging you with keeping me in line should I ever go into foul territory. probably not because I intend to do so, but we all have a limited angle of our perspective. Please lend me your hearts and your eyes and your open arms should such a thing, and it will, occur. The mutuality of a relationship in this context of spiritual practice is most important. I can't step up if you don't step up. And when we step up together, we'll all be fine. Fortunately today, the koan is very short. And I intend to keep it short too, but there is a very, very important teaching in this koan about the 3 pounds of flax. The traditional way of treating a koan asks me to tell you about the person who appears in it. And we see it's written Tozan in Latin characters. But there's a number of Tozans who are around in the Zen history. There is one Tozan who helped found the Soto school. This is not him. It is not East Mountain Tozan. This Tozan here is Tozan Shusho, who lived from 910 until 990 of the Common Era. He appears in 4 cases of this Shumon Katoshu. And what he says here, answering the monk, also appears in other koan collections. The Mumon Kan, the Gateless Barrier, case 18. The Blue Cliff Record, the Heikigan Roku, has it as case 12. And even in Dogen's Shobogenzo, in the Shinji or the Mana version, which is the Chinese version of Dogen's Shobogenzo, where he has several hundred koans, it's case number 172. As so many of the monks who lived in that period of time, he studied the Vinaya first, the rules of monastic Buddhism. He took ordination at 16 and finally found his way under the great master Umon Bunen. Umon Bunen, a formidable presence at that time. If you read through the Shumon Katoshu, you will find the awakening of Tosan Shusho described in case number 188, which I will skip so we don't spend too much time on that. But what he is really known for, you know, Umon was not a talker. And he also didn't let others talk. Often he would ask a question, and before anyone could say anything, his one-word answer was there already. And this Tozan is a descendant of Umon. And he was known for actually speaking about the distinction between dead words, words that just relate to discursive intellectual thinking, and living words, words that are not limited just by reason. His name comes from Tozan, from the mountain in the Hubei province where he resided. So that is Tozan. Many descriptions and commentaries on that case say that the monk came and asked, and Tozan was doing something. Maybe he was weighing flax. And there are interpretations that say, well, the answer, of course, means you need 3 kin, One kin is 1.32 pounds, so you need 4 pounds of flax to make a monk's robe. This is what Tozan would call dead words. This is not about the flax. This is not about the weight of the flax. And is the monk really asking about Buddha? What is Buddha? What is Buddha? A question that we all must face moment by moment. This. And as soon as I say, is Buddha, the dead words begin. You might have heard about Zen as the path of non-duality. And it sounds so elusive. And then there are koans like this that basically speak about non-duality. Non-duality doesn't mean that they are not 4, 5, 6, 7 pounds, or 2, or 1, or 1/2 pound. Non-duality means when there are 3 pounds, there are 3 pounds. But even here, we have to be very cautious, because it makes sense in an objective fashion. Objectively, yes, there's a scale. I put 3 pounds on there. But already we fall into the first trap of our human way of communicating. Setting up systems, setting up words and meanings and measures through comparison for the only purpose of being able to interact the world with the world in some kind of measured way. It is important if you buy flour, if you want 3 pounds, that you get 3 pounds. But that is completely utilitarian. So if we understand, yes, objectively, there are 3 pounds and that's it, we cannot approach that from the point of view of somebody selling or buying. These 3 pounds are not good 3 pounds. They are not evil 3 pounds. They are not heavy 3 pounds. They are not light 3 pounds. It's just 3 pounds. In the Mumonkan, there's a wonderful verse that comes with this koan, which I would like to share with you. Mumon says, 3 pounds of flax came sweeping along. Close were the words, but closer was the spirit. Those who argue about right and wrong are those enslaved by right and wrong. When I think of Joshu Roshi speaking about true love, Shin no Ai, that is the love of meeting what is without comparison, without measurement, and without any kind of meaning. It is difficult to move between the world where we have to measure, where we have to speak, and this world that is prior to self-awareness, that is prior to words, that is prior to thinking. Coming to this monastery, coming to this practice, going to any of the temples of the venerated Roshis and Oshos who are here, offers us the possibility to enter this unknown field of non-duality without any fear. We can develop stepping into that life without any doubt and without any hesitation. There is nothing obscure about this. Even if the monk wanted an answer, Tozan stuffed Masagin right into that intellectual hole. I am sitting here and I am borrowing a chair from generations past. I am humbly borrowing this Nyoi scepter for today's ceremony. It belonged to Nyogen Senzaki, the first Rinzai monk, really, Soen Shaku's student, who lived here in the United States for over 50 years, who worked as a mushroom monk, very quietly spreading the seeds, not like a big radiant flower, quietly preparing this ground for all of us to receive the beneficence of this teaching. The verse mentioned, morning dew, Chodo An, morning dew hermitage, is Nyogen Senzaki's name. We all can be the preparers of this ground, of this world, of this society, through our being, first of all, through our actions, and sometimes through refraining to act in a self-centered way. 3 pounds of flax. This is in front of our eyes and hearts every moment, every day. Let us work together to be able to step into that field that is truly able to answer what.
This has been a Zen Study Society podcast. If you found it to be of interest, please consider making a donation by visiting zenstudies.org/donate. Thank you for listening.